The federal government and insurance companies have committed $70 billion to Sandy recovery and to prepare for future storms, but private charities are playing an important role as well. New Jersey Public Radio Scott Gurian reports on the hundreds of millions of dollars that charities have raised and the trouble some of the largest organizations have had delivering local services.
My city's in ruins.
6 weeks after the storm, a who's who list of musicians and celebrities gathered at Madison Square Garden for the nationally televised 12-12-12 concert for Sandy relief. After a moving opening set by Bruce Springsteen, actor Billy Crystal took the stage to ask for the public's support.
The damage from Sandy was as much as $70 billion. Our national and local governments are responding, but it's just not enough, which is why we were all here tonight. All of the money raised by tonight's event will go to the Robin Hood Relief Fund, one of the premier poverty-fighting organizations in the country.
The Robin Hood Foundation ended up raising $75 million for the recovery, which it then re-granted to other organizations providing housing assistance and aid for storm victims. According to a recent report from the Foundation Center, nearly 600 foundations and corporations contributed to the relief effort, as did countless charities like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army.
Essentially, they're filling the gaps.
Sue Martichek is director of the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group. Organizations like hers have relied entirely on private donations to provide services to storm victims that go well beyond what the federal government can cover.
In the beginning, I think that people thought we were do-gooders and we were nice and helpful. And now the role has shifted where we are an intricate, vital part of the success of this long-term recovery in our state.
Aid groups have helped in various ways, from providing volunteers to rebuild homes to offering free meals, mental health services, and financial counseling. But some large foundations, like a fund run by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's wife, were criticized for taking too long to respond. And an investigation by NPR and ProPublica accused the Red Cross of diverting aid vehicles to serve as backdrops for press conferences and lacking basic supplies like food and blankets to distribute. Those are charges the organization vigorously denies. Ben Smilowitz with the Disaster Accountability Project, a national watchdog group, says these post-Sandy problems have happened before.
People are extremely generous after these major disasters, and they give to organizations that are asking. A big problem is that the organizations asking for dollars are often not the ones positioned to deliver services.
While big national groups had the name recognition to raise millions of dollars, he thinks they didn't always have the capacity to respond in the most effective way possible.
When all the money is based thousands of miles away from the disaster and the decision makers are based, you know, out of state, then oftentimes the community is not making the decisions they need to be making, and the recovery often, you know, mismatches the needs of a certain area that's been affected.
He recommends donating instead to local groups with deeper ties to the communities they serve, like Martichek's organization, which has had great success helping storm victims rebuild their homes, but may run out of money by the middle of next year.
We feel like we have just made big strides in helping to facilitate construction. And the thought of bringing that progress to a complete halt is just frightening because we know how many people really need this help to get home.
She says there's a backlog of thousands of residents waiting for assistance, and more keep coming every day. But at this point, it's unclear where they'll get the funding to continue. For WNYC, I'm Scott Gurian.